What's up, 10 J Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's May 19th, 2025. And if your favorite number is four or your lucky number is four, then this is the 10 and J Man Show episode for you because it's our 444th episode of the 10 and J Man Show, streaming live on the IZ Sports Network, as well as their YouTube channel and the 10 and J Man Show Facebook page and YouTube channel. I'm Tanner Lee. Across from me on the screen over in Central Time in the state of Illinois is Josh the J-Man. Missed you last week, J-Man. Good to have you back.
I appreciate that. It's good to be back here on the Tan and J-Man show, and I'm trying to think of all the stuff I missed over the past 2 weeks, and I got nothing.
Well, I don't know if you caught any of the show last week, but my father, Eric Lee, which I want to... Thank my dad for filling in last week. We had a good time. He got the birdie or bogey question correct. So
what was it? Because I didn't see it. What was the question?
It was a tough one. And knowing him, I wanted to make it golf related with the PGA Championship. And there's been five international players all time to win multiple PGA Championships. I took one guy out. I don't even remember his name because he won in like 1916 and 1919. So I said since 1960, there's been four international players that win multiple PGA championships. And he got all four.
Hey, that's impressive. You should do that
pretty, for a pretty easily, too. I mean, it was within like 40 seconds. Like,
he's got a big-time lead on both of us then. He can probably, he can probably start going to Disney, planning his trip to Disney World.
There you go. Last time we saw you, your guest was Aaron Judge for the birdie or bogey.
I've thought about that daily, I would say, with how poor of a guest that was. I don't know why he was on my brain. He came up late. I think he was 25 or 26 when he really established himself, and he's only 33 now. So maybe the worst guest in the history of the Tan and J-Man.
I don't know. We've both had some pretty bad ones, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but definitely the worst guest this year. I'll give
probably. I guess what surprised me the most was just because baseball is your wheelhouse. It's your strongest category. So it wasn't even. I mean, Judge gets off the hard starts every year, so it's not that.
Yeah,
I was surprised you didn't guess anybody in the top 25. And of course, he wasn't on the top 25, to be honest.
I don't know why. I just remember Judge, 15 homers this April, 14 homers. And I don't know if it was just recency. It just got in my brain. But I have been embarrassed about that ever since. So hopefully. Well,
I'll probably do bad tonight. So.
I don't think you'll be bad. You might not get it, but I don't think it'll be, you won't have terrible guesses. I think you have a good shot to at least get a par. But that leads me to my birdie bogey question. Since 2000, only four schools have had each a number one overall pick in basketball and a number one overall pick in football. Can you name those four schools? 3-4 a par, 4-4 a birdie.
That's a really good question.
Really, I think you have at least a real good shot to get a par. I think you have a real good shot to get all of them.
Four schools, you said? Four of them?
Four schools to have since 2000 to have a number one overall pick in b-ball and football. So,
all right.
Then you got a chance. But Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for great food, cocktails, casual atmosphere, located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
They got new hours starting tomorrow night, May 20th. They are open Tuesday through Saturdays now going forward throughout the summer. So that's 4 to 9 o'clock on Tuesday through Thursday and 4 to 10 Friday and Saturday. Let's see. They got some new menu items out. Right here they got a new spring drink menu. They got a black cherry mojito. Got a mango sunrise, jalapeno margarita, a blueberry lavender fizz. So,
I'm a big fan of summer fruity drinks. So that's right up my alley.
And on the food side for their spring menu, they got lobster grilled cheese. That sounds really good. Hot honey salmon bowl. They got a PBHJ burger and buffalo chicken tacos. That'd be up your alley.
Love myself some buffalo chicken and love myself some tacos. Put those things together. Match made in heaven. What's PB and H, Jay?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's two crispy and juicy smashed patties layered in melty habanero jack cheese topped with crispy bacon between creamy peanut butter and house-made jalapeno jelly on a potato bun served with french fries.
The H must be habanero then.
Yeah.
That's my guess anyway. But
yes, sir.
I've never had peanut butter on a burger, and I don't know if I'm ever gonna be willing to take the risk to try it. Honestly,
I think I have, but it wasn't at Triple X where down in West Lafayette where it's known. So I don't know where I would have had it, and I think I came away with like, it's all right. It's not. Yeah, I don't love it, but don't hate it.
I'm sure it's not. I don't think it's gross. It's just such an outlandish combo that I have a hard time wrapping my brain around it.
Sure.
But I probably would be willing to try it at some point, just to say I did, but jelly on there though. That's an interesting one. I think I can kind of wrap my brain around the peanut butter, but the jelly might
get
a little bit, but it'd be savory and sweet, so I think it'd probably go fairly okay together, in my opinion.
A lot of flavors going on.
Yeah, because I'm a burger aficionado, and kind of bacon jam is kind of, it's got some sweetness like jelly kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'd be kind of like a bacon jam sort of taste to it. So,
well, I'm thinking in the next year or so, the J-Man's got to try it out. And then give us a report back.
Right. Yeah, I could probably just do it here. Just slap some peanut butter on it.
That's what I'm saying. Sometime. Yeah.
Have an extra.
It is a 3-day weekend coming up this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. So maybe that's a good time to try it out.
Yeah, the unofficial, in my opinion, start of summer is Memorial
Day. I like it.
Might be time to, not that I mean, I fire up the grill when it's 10 below zero. What am I talking about? But no greater time to fire up the grill again than, 3-day weekend, that's for sure.
Yep, I got to get ours going. I haven't got the Blackstone going yet, so I need to get ours going this weekend, and hopefully our pool will be open this weekend. I was supposed to be open last week, and it's never a good thing when the pool guy knocks on the door and said, motor's out. Right away, I'm thinking, the heater? No, the pump, the pool pump, the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Cool. So we don't even know if the heater is working because you can't test it without the pump going. So it's like, well, hopefully a new motor will fix the pump and hopefully then the heater is fine. If not, it's just, you might be hear me yelling from a state over if not. So put it that way.
Isn't it fun being an adult? Huh?
Oh, always. But I feel like there's a lot going on in the sports world right now. I mean, the NBA playoffs were down to the semifinals, I guess you can call it, the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. You got the Pacers and the Knicks rekindling a good old rivalry from the late 90s and even early 2000s. And we even saw them last year in the semifinals, rekindling that. And then the West side, you got Oklahoma City and Minnesota. So a lot of new blood in the NBA trying to make the finals. I mean, the Pacers made it in 2000. Have never won it. The Knicks last made it in 99. Last time they've won is back in the early 70s. Minnesota's never made it or won it. Oklahoma City's never won it. Well, they did as the Sonics back in the 80s. But as a Thunder, they've never won it. And the last time they made it was 2016. So,
yeah, it's kind of nice that we had some parity this year. I mean, I saw a stat today. It was only 6 players that are in the conference finals have already won an NBA title. That's it.
Wow.
That's Siakam, who's with the Pacers. He won it with Toronto. Ananobi as well. I think he was on that Toronto team.
I think so.
Caruso in 2020, DiVincenzo in 2021, PJ Tucker 2021, and our boy Thomas Bryant 2 years ago.
I was going to say, I thought Thomas Bryant won one. So no real household name. I mean, Ananobi's been playing really well, though.
Siakam's a really good all-star level player.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's true.
Was more like the fourth guy on that Toronto team when you had, obviously you had Kawhi, and I think Kyle Lowry was still there. And
Fred VanVleet even, too.
He was there, yeah. So he was significantly less of a household name then as he is now. So,
yeah. Yeah. I've watched a decent amount of the playoffs. I've watched a lot of Pacer games, watched a lot of the Nuggets who got trounced yesterday. So I think it's been a pretty fun playoffs to watch overall, honestly. Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've watched a single second of the NBA playoffs. Usually I tune in, but now I just haven't even remembered that they're on. And Jokic had a great quote the other day after they lost. They asked what his off season
always does.
Regiment's going to look like, he said, I'm going to drink a lot of beer. That's all he said. He's the man. He's going to go ride some horses or watch some horses.
He owns some horses. So he'll watch them. He'll watch them race.
Drink a lot of beer, obviously.
I still think he's the best player in the world. I know he's not going MVP, but why hasn't MVP been announced yet?
I don't know. It usually is. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories around it, how the NBA is embarrassed that it's going to be, you know, Gilgeous Alexander. I don't know why they'd be embarrassed. He had a great year. I just don't know if they just don't want it to, like, overshadow the postseason, but they always announce it by now.
This is, like, the latest ever.
Yeah, and I think the only reason why Jokic isn't going to win it again is because there's MVP fatigue with him winning, you know, three of them, which is not fair, in my opinion. I think
it should have been four. He should have won it the year Embiid won it 2 years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think that's not fair because, I mean, it's not his fault. He's won all these MVPs. And if he's the best player in the world, he's the best player in the world. And he had the best season in the NBA. I mean, did he average a triple-double? Pretty close to it if he didn't.
Pretty darn close, yeah.
At, you know, 6'10", 6'11", is absurd, especially with the way he plays the game too. He's not an athlete at all. he has about a 6-inch vertical leap, which is kind of nice.
He does run the floor a lot better than people give him credit for.
He does. But
So I'm assuming they'll do it game one of the Western Conference Finals.
Probably.
I keep thinking maybe that's what they're waiting for, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do, before we talk more about the NBA, my blind rankings has to do with NBA this week. And last time the Pacers and Knicks met in the Eastern Conference Finals was in the year 2000. Like I said, the Pacers ended up winning that series in five games, I believe it was, to go to the finals, which they ultimately lost in five games, 4-1 to the Lakers. The year before, the Knicks won the Eastern Conference in the shortened strike season, which saw the Spurs, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Greg Popovich get their first title in 99. That was the first finals I actually remember watching as a kid. It was the Knicks-Spurs. Anyways, I took five guys from both rosters combined, and they're not real what I call household names. I mean, like, there's no Reggie Miller or Patrick Ewing on these five. So I took five guys. Four of them were starters. One was a sixth man, one of the two teams. You've heard of all these guys, though. So, and I want you to rank them however you want to. You can rank them by career, by your likeness of the guys. I don't care. So,
what year was this? 2000?
2000. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So this guy started for the Indiana Pacers. He's still relevant around the media world and NBA world today. Jalen Rose.
Oh man, I don't even remember who was on these teams. Honestly, that's gonna be an issue.
This is a tough one this week.
Is tough. Jalen Rose. He had a really good career. I might just go on off a career. I think I'm gonna put him two. He had a good career. So
yeah, played for the Nuggets, then the Pacers, then the Bulls. I don't know. Probably somebody else in there somewhere, but. Yeah, very good college player at Michigan.
Yes.
Another starter for the Pacers, the Flying Dutchman, Rick Smits.
I'm going to put him four. He was four. Real tall, wasn't he? Like 7'3".
Four. 7'3". His feet, I remember, he was like, because, you know, Cico got built in 2000. Mm-hmm. And I think, or 99, 2000 season, I went to a game, my first Pacers game that year against the Clippers. I remember Lamar Odom was a rookie. And so they had his shoe. Oh. You know how like arenas they have like put your foot and stuff. They had him and Travis Best, the guard for the reserve guard for the Pacers. And I remember the weird thing about Rick Smith, and his the mold of his shoe wasn't like this, but his feet were inward.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that actually, I think he could have played longer if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Flying Dutchman. This guy was a sixth man on the Knicks, Marcus Camby.
Oh, man. I have my 3, 5, and 1 open. Mm-hmm. Marcus Camby won at least one Defensive Player of the Year that I can remember. Oh, man, I have a hard time not putting him one, but I think I'm going to have to slot him in there at the 3 spot. I don't know who else is coming on, honestly, obviously. But, man, I want to put him one, but I'm going to put him at 3.
He was a heck of a college player at UMass. Helped Calipari get to his first Final Four. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Got two other now starters for the New York Knicks. Allen Houston.
Man, heck of a shooter. I don't know who else you have. I'll put him one. I think he had a little bit of better career than Jalen Rose did. Jalen Rose has stayed relevant just through the media and all that, but I think Allen Houston had a better NBA career than Jalen Rose.
I like that. I think Allen Houston is a very underrated player.
Very.
Very underrated player. And lastly, Indiana Pacer fans, a lot of Pacer fans at least, hate this guy to this day, Larry Johnson.
Obviously, I have to put him at 5. More known as college player at UNLV than he was in the NBA, but he had a pretty solid NBA career. Obviously, he's the number one overall pick, but in a redo of this, I'm okay with it. I'd probably put Smith's 5th.
Yeah.
That might be the only thing I switch. Maybe Camby and Rose. But other than that, I'm okay with that. I'm happy with it.
I'm going to look up some of these guys' stats real quick.
Please do. I'm probably way off.
I'm just curious because I Jalen Rose for his career averaged 14.3 points per game.
All right.
That shot 44.3% for his career. He did play. I got all the teams right. I forgot about, at the end, he played for the Raptors, the Knicks, and the Suns. He played clear till he's 34. 06-07, but 6 years for the Pacers, 3 for the Raptors and the Bulls, 2 for the Nuggets, 1 for the Suns, 1 for the Knicks.
What years did he play with the Bulls? Because I remember him with the Bulls.
It was, let's see here, 2001, 2002, 2002, 2003, then again in 03, 04. Okay.
That's what I thought. I thought it was after he played for Indiana.
Yep, he was part of the trade that involved, I remember Travis Best got shipped from Indiana to Chicago, Brad Miller from Chicago to Indiana. I don't remember who else the Pacers got. Let's see, the Flying Dutchman averaged 14.8 points per game, shot a little over 50%, of course. Pacers' whole career for 12 seasons. 99-2000 was his last season. He retired after that.
Did he have some injury issues and he didn't play a ton of games?
About from 95-96 on. 95-96, he played 63 games. 96-97, he played 52. Did play 73 in 97-98, but only 49, 98-99, but 79 in 99-2000.
All right, so I was off on that. Maybe I gave old Rick Smith's the shaft today.
But he did retire at like the age of 32. So Marcus Camby, definitely a defensive guy. He only averaged 9.5 points per game. But it's not showing defensive stats here. But he, he played for 17 years. Holy crap.
Yeah, he played a long
6
time.
Years for the Nuggets, 5 for the Knicks, 3 for the Blazers, 2 for the Raptors, 2 for the Clippers, and 1 for the Rockets.
I remember him with the Knicks later on in his career too,
because he won two defensive players of the year, or maybe that's just showing votes. He got 14 MVP votes for the Nuggets in 2004-05.
Wow,
He, what did he do that year? Where is the points per game? I don't even know. I mean, there they are. He only averaged 10.3 points per game. But he was, I think he was, he, that might have been the year he won. No, he won Defensive Player of the Year in 06, 07. Oh, I don't know.
I thought he did later in his career, too, in like 2010, 2011, or was that kind of his final year?
He retired the very next year after that.
Okay.
So, okay, two more guys here. Allen Houston. Allen Houston averaged 17.3 points per game.
Yeah, he was a good scorer, good shooter.
40% free throw shooter, 40.2 for his career. He played 12 years in the league, 3 years for Detroit, 9 for the Knicks. So, yeah, he's kind of a Knick legend with their fan base. And Larry Johnson. Mm, 16.2 points per game. Played 10 years. Played 5 for the Hornets, 5 for the Knicks.
Huh. Okay.
So
I remember him with the Hornets. I might not remember him with the Hornets, but I remember he played for the Hornets.
He was a 2-time All-Star, both as a Hornet. And let's see. And Rookie of the Year, he won Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
So, yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. And the Blind Rankings list is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Who are you picking in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think it goes 7. That's kind of my prediction, as it goes 7. But I'm going to take the Knicks. I think they are a little bit better and feel like this is the year they kind of get it done to get there. Of course, the NBA, looking at the teams left, will want them to get there.
Oh, absolutely, they will.
Who knows how bad the officiating will be in this series for Indiana. But I think the Knicks are just a little bit better. Great matchup, Jalen Brunson and Haliburton. Fantastic. Pretty similar teams. We'll see if old Tibbs playing his guys 48 minutes a game will catch up to him like it usually does. But give me the Knicks.
I think it's pivotal for, I mean, this might be a dumb statement, for the Pacers to at least split at Madison Square Garden.
For sure.
Game one, game two. I'm confident they can take care of business at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I'm going Pacers in 6. Maybe that's just the, even though I'm not a big diehard Pacer fan, maybe that's the Pacer fan in me. Also, I just don't want to hear the media. With the Knicks, it's already insufferable as it is. I think the Pacers are a little deeper depth-wise. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be the difference maker in the series. I mean, Haliburton's been awesome. Brunson, like you said, for the Knicks, I mean, that dude's a dog. Every team in the NBA should want him on their team. He doesn't play defense. But, man, he's clutch and he's good on offense.
Yeah.
But besides Haliburton, I mean, Siakam's been good. Turner's been good. They've had a lot of guys step up. So it's kind of been even distribution all around. So yeah. It was cool. The Pat McAfee show today, he found, I don't know if you saw the clip over the weekend, the Pacer fan, or at least the guy wearing the Haliburton jersey outside of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Getting pummeled by trash and different things. And McAfee found him, was interviewing him. Haliburton came on, and Haliburton is assuming this guy's a firefighter. So assuming he can make it work with the schedule, Halliburton's flying. He plus a guest out next week for game 4, all expenses paid, courtside seats and everything.
That, and you know, that's wrong of Knicks fans to do that, and I don't condone that. However,
He knew what he was getting.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And play stupid games, win stupid prizes is what I said.
Very well said.
He might not have deserved to get stuff thrown at him and pushed and all that, but he had something coming to him.
Could have been a lot worse.
Could have
really got pummeled.
Yeah.
He's
lucky.
So you got the Knicks. I got the Pacers. On the Western side, who do you got? Timberwolves back-to-back appearances now in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah. Anthony Edwards, he's a kingslayer, as they say.
He legend killer.
Legend killer, yeah. This will be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. I think the Thunder got their scare out of the way against the Nuggets, and I think the Thunder win in at least five. I don't know if we'll know by this time next week. If they sweep them, we might know, because I think they play tonight, or do they play tomorrow? It'd be tomorrow because they won yesterday. Am I talking about?
Yeah.
If
I don't think that's we'll know.
Let's probably won't know
by next week.
Even if they sweep, I don't think we'll know.
Yeah, both series only play three games. Game four would be next Monday night.
Well, anyway, J-Man's book and predicts the week brought to you by by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
Right now for tomorrow night, the Thunder are 7.5-point favorites. Wednesday night, the Knicks are 4.5-point favorites. So I am taking the Thunder as well. I agree with you. I think they got past their test of the Nuggets. I think they win in five.
Okay.
I think Timberwolves do win one, but they win in five. I just think they're the better overall team.
I agree.
And so I got Thunder Pacers. You got Thunder Knicks.
They really suffocated Jokic yesterday. I saw that it was Jokic's 93rd least usage in a playoff game in his career, and he's only played 94 games, so second least usage in a playoff game for him. So they really, I think he only shot the ball 9 times maybe.
Credit
Thunder's defense, which that is kind of their calling card, is defense. So and they have a superstar. They get superstar calls too that lives at the free throw line, kind of like Jalen Brunson. He kind of flops out there, and He's a foul merchant, as they say, as the kids say.
As the kids say. The game got away from the Nuggets late in the second quarter. It was like a, I don't know, 4-point game with 3 minutes left before half, and then it was 14-point game at half.
Yeah.
And then the Thunder turned on the faucet at the start of the second half, and it was 21 like that. It was over. So
that place gets rocking, too, in Oklahoma City. Now that they're good again.
It's going to be rocking in the city of Indianapolis on Sunday because it's the first home game. It's game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's Indy 500 all on the same day, Racers and Pacers. And it's the Hicks versus the Knicks rivalry again. So it's, and Reggie Miller will be on the call, I believe. It's just going to be a lot happening.
Yeah.
A lot happening.
The Pacers have played in some conference finals here over the past 12 years or so.
Oh, sure.
A decent amount of them. 4 of them, maybe?
Yeah, they've always ran into, of course, in the 90s, it was Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was LeBron. I'd say Brunson and Halliburton are pretty equal. So they're not really,
up against an all-timer.
Yes. So it's interesting. I mean, there. You know, I was thinking about, you know, of the teams in the NBA who have not won a finals, they're probably the most due historically. I mean, they've always been a pretty darn good franchise. They've had some bad spells, but they just can never kick down that door.
Yeah. I don't ever – I mean, we've talked about this for years, that they were never so bad that they'd, like, be a top 10, top 5 pick. If they were bad, they'd be picking at the very back of the lottery. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating for fans because they were just kind of stuck in this cycle of mediocrity, and then they hit on Paul George and they had some good years. But even after they traded him away, they weren't ever so bad where they would be considered tanking. So, I agree with that. I think – and, of course, Indiana being a basketball state
sure.
As well. I think they're definitely due.
after Carlisle's first run, he had the O'Brien years, which were pretty darn mediocre.
Yeah.
Too bad. But like you said, they could never get a great draft pick, or Danny Granger would be good enough to get them the 8 seed.
Right. Yeah.
And then Frank Vogel came along and they hit on Paul George, had a good core, got pretty good, but couldn't get past LeBron. Then they kind of dipped down again, but now they're back. And they've done it the right way. So
yeah, and they have a superstar level guy in Halliburton, which they haven't. Yep. Besides George, haven't really had. And with George there, they didn't have a great supporting cast. I mean, they had Hibbert, who was okay. Granger was okay, but now you have Turner and Siakam, and those guys are much better.
Right.
Even though this team was were they a 4 seed this year, or were they a 5?
Yes,
seed?
four this year.
And those Pacer teams were, what, 2 seeds? One, yeah, did they even win the league 1 year, regular season? Were they a 1 seed ever?
I know, one of the years when we were in college, they had the best record in the league.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Those teams might have been better record-wise, but I think these teams are better set up to get to an NBA Finals. And, of course, not having to face LeBron helps significantly.
I think some of those teams, that could have got past Miami, because they took him to a couple game sixes, one game seven, I remember, and then they got blitzed.
Yeah.
If they could have got past LeBron, I think at least one of those teams could have won the finals.
I think so, too. I think they were better than whoever else won. The Spurs won one.
Yeah.
Dallas got there 1 year, too, I think. Was that one of the years that...
I know Dallas beat Miami in LeBron's first year down there.
Yeah.
That was the Pacer team that year that was 8 seed and took a 1 seed Bulls to the brink, but couldn't win the series. Then Derrick Rose got hurt.
Got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or got hurt the next round, I believe, against the Sixers, I think.
He got hurt against the Sixers. For some reason, I was thinking that was round was one, that but it must not have been.
Okay.
I don't remember. I was watching it live when it happened.
Yeah.
I kind of got into the Bulls then.
Sure.
Sure.
But yeah, it's exciting. I know the city of Indianapolis, of course, pumped about it. And then the Fever started their season with Caitlin Clark, and all that got media attention with her and Angel Reese and that whole ordeal, which I just thought it was a hard foul by Caitlin Clark. I didn't think it was anything intentional. And if you watch replay, Angel Reese shoved the Fever girl in the back. So
there's a double standard there. With that, so I don't really want to get into that because I don't really watch the WNBA, but
I don't watch much either. So
because Reese has somebody fouled Caitlin really hard last year, and Reese loved it, but Reese gets a little tap, and it was a hard foul. Don't get me wrong, it was definitely a hard foul. I wouldn't say there was anything dirty about it at all. And it's this weird rivalry that I don't really understand. I know it goes back to the college days, but Clark is in a different stratosphere than what Reese is, in my opinion.
Yep. Yep. Angel Reese is good, but Caitlin Clark's she's a generational talent.
Definitely.
I mean, she's
single-handedly saving the WNBA, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, that crowd was nuts.
It was. I mean, it was. That's never
sold out. So it'll be a fun week. Weekend in the state of Indiana. You have any thoughts on Indy 500?
No, I don't.
Well, I got to go see who I picked. This is one of my 25 bold predictions for 2025. I hit on it with Newgarden a year or two ago.
I remember that. That was impressive. I don't know if I can name you one name in it. I don't think I've ever watched a cumulative more than a minute of it. I'm just not a car racing guy.
I picked... Who did I pick? Scott McLaughlin. Let's see where he qualified at. Probably like last. I did see there was two Penske cars got penalized today, moved all the way back.
Oh, wow.
Newgarden was one of them. And Will Power, they failed the qualifying inspection. Okay. So they got moved back to the... in the 30s, I believe, because there's 33 cars. Let's see. Where is good old McLaughlin on there? All right. He's starting 10th. He's a Penske driver, but he didn't get in trouble. So let's see where those guys are starting. Yeah. Newgarden or Power now are starting 32nd, 33rd. I mean, it's a long race, so they'll be all right. But
I don't know what any of that means. But
man. They're starting in row 11 out of 11 rows, so they're starting in the back. Got to have to work their ways up.
How often is it that the guy who qualifies at one actually wins?
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, statistically, it's probably
I'm sure it's higher.
highest position
that makes
starting
sense.
Position to win. But yeah. I would say I'm more, and I don't even follow NASCAR like I used to. But I follow NASCAR a lot more than IndyCar, even though I appreciate IndyCar more as I've been getting older. But I would say if you're in the first six rows, it's the first half of the starting field, you got a pretty good shot. Hmm. If you can stay out of the wreck early. But I'm going to see if there's any female drivers this year. No females this year. So a lot of the same old names that have been down there for years. Some legends in the field. Watch it. Kyle Larson at 19th is an interesting one because he's a NASCAR driver. But he's done the 500 the last 2 years. And he's not only a NASCAR driver, he's one of NASCAR's best drivers, if not their best right now.
I wonder how difficult it is to go back and forth.
I think it's
got to be
decently difficult.
Yeah, you know? It would make sense if it would be.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep. So I'll watch a little bit of it, I think. I don't know. I do know we have some plans going on Sunday, so, but we'll see. And see, Thad Mooney. See, this is why I like Thad tuning in. He's always on top of it for stats. 21 of the 108 pole sitters have won Indy.
Okay. So it's a little less than 20% then.
Yeah. Yeah. So good stuff. Good stuff.
You want to get educated?
I need it really bad all the time.
1912, AL President Ban Johnson tells the Detroit Tigers if they continue to protest of Ty Cobb's suspension, they will be banned from baseball. So Cobb was suspended. Yeah, the president's name was Ban, and they were.
This was so banned. Banned. That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Maybe that's where they got Ban from. Who knows? on this day, and we got a lot of Kentucky derbies. 1935, the NFL adopts an annual college draft to begin in 1936.
Wow, that's earlier than I would have thought.
Me too.
Yeah. And I know you just mentioned the Derby. Maybe you don't know. I'm assuming the horse, and I can't even think of the name, that won the Derby didn't win the Preakness over the weekend because I didn't hear anything. I feel like I would have heard about it if they did.
I don't think they ran. It was big news that the winner of the Derby was not running
Either
the Preakness or Belmont, so there was no
that's how
shot close of a triple crown.
There we go.
I saw it in passing on Twitter, so it wasn't like
I trust you.
On this day in 1962, Stan Musial broke Honus Wagner's NL hit record with 3,431 hits. He's pretty good, Stan.
He's obviously on the Mount Rushmore Cardinals all time, right?
Definitely, I would say.
Who else would you put up there?
Top one. Oh man, I can do my Mount Rushmore of guys I hated the most.
Sure.
Stan Musial, Bob Gibson. Pujols and
Ozzie Smith.
That dude couldn't hit. He was just known for backflips and good defense. he and Yachty, two of the most overrated players in the history of the game.
That's gonna be cut, snipped, and clipped.
I hope it is. And it will be. I hope my wife's uncle's watching because he always said, "I'm gonna get your kid. I'm gonna get Ozzie Smith to sign Addy's head." No, you're not. Man, there were so many good players back at Rogers.
Not McGuire, right?
No, Rogers Hornsby. I think he was a Cardinal.
Any pitchers?
Any other pitchers?
Managers?
Maybe Lou Brock could be on there.
Okay,
I would say Lou Brock has a chance. Managers wise, La Russa's on the Mount Rushmore of drunks. I'll tell you that much. He was a pretty good manager too.
Yeah.
I know there's guys I'm forgetting that I'm just not even thinking about. So, I could easily do a Mount Rushmore since 2000. That'd be like Pujols. I'd put Yachty on there. Man, I hate them all. I can't even stomach talking about it anymore. Moving on.
I was gonna have you rattle off your four most hated real quick, but we can do that.
Oh later. No, I got all the time in the world to do that. Yachty for sure is on that. Man, Colton Wong, could not stand that guy.
Not about that guy. He just
announced his retirement yesterday. That's probably why he's fresh in my brain.
I heard you call him a lot of nasty names.
Yeah. Could not stand Colton Wong. Always respected the heck out of Pujols. Hated him just because he was Cub killer. Tony La Russa's got to be on that list, even though he wasn't a player.
Sure.
Like
Wainwright or Carpenter?
I didn't mind Wainwright. Cubs had some decent success against Wainwright. Carpenter didn't really like him, but wouldn't say I hated him. I wouldn't say there was a pitcher on the list that I despised. Man. Didn't like Matt Carpenter, but I respected him. Ryan Terrio, just because he played there for a year, maybe. Or Wilson Contreras at this point. I don't like that guy either anymore. My favorite Cardinal of all time is Dexter Fowler, without a question. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's my favorite Cardinal.
I can definitely tell that your Cardinals are easily your most hated MLB team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Anyway, moving back on to On This Day, let's see if I can lock back in, because now I've just my blood is boiling thinking about the St. Louis Cardinals here. Thank you. On this day in the 90s, it's not a whole lot this week. A lot of Preakness, NHL Eastern Conference Finals.
I could take a stab at it. I probably get it wrong, but I could take a stab at it.
No, that's all right. Who won 2019 PGA Championship men's golf?
Man, I get my ears so confused on these. Teen.
This guy led wire to wire.
Was that Koepka?
It was Koepka. He had an unbelievable run there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did not play well this past week. He missed the cut, but I'll talk about him in a little bit.
When's the last time he's won?
Last year.
Oh, he did?
PGA.
Who won the PGA last year?
I thought Koepka won it last year.
Nope.
Remember that? Maybe that was the year before. That was the year before. The heck won it last year? I was just talking about this the other day.
He won by one stroke over Bryson.
Oh, it was Xander Schauffele.
It was.
And he won two majors last year. Oh, I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow.
That'll do it for On This Day this week.
And that's On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Get your signed orders in. We got Father's Day coming up in just a handful of weeks. Not even a handful, less than a handful of weeks. And then after that, like I've been saying the last few weeks, it's practically going to be Christmas after that. So
get not even your summer yet. Done. It's already Christmas.
I mean, I guess you can get a sign for any other holiday, but I'm just trying to think of gift-wise.
4th of July, get an American flag.
There you go. There you go. Maybe a wooden sign that you can launch fireworks off of somehow.
There you go.
Like a platform.
Something like that. Yeah, I like that.
There we go. Yes, the PGA Championship. Yesterday was the most I had watched all week of it. It was a very odd tournament. Held at Quail Hollow, which hosts a tournament usually every year, but not a major. Rained a bunch before the tournament started, and then that didn't affect the course at all. It looked like it was going to be a classic finish through about 9 to 10 holes yesterday. Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm were tied, but John Rahm had a big putt lip out on the early on the back nine, and then he just tanked. Bryson couldn't get putts to fall, so he was hovering around top five, but never really contention. Scotty just cruised the back nine without making too many mistakes and rolled on to win by five strokes, giving him his third major title, first one outside the Masters. But another career victory. I mean, this guy has just dominated the golfing world since February of 2022. He's only 28 years old. He's on pace to do some amazing things. I was talking with a good friend of the podcast this morning, Aaron Lynch, and Aaron's confident that he'll pass Phil Mickelson for majors. Phil won six. She's like, yeah, I could see Scotty winning four more by the time he's done, you know, getting up to seven. And he thinks he could catch Phil in all-time wins. That'd be 30 more wins. I'm not that confident.
And he's,
I know,
what, 30 years. Is he 28, 30?
20, he's 28. Okay. I mean, I know he's winning at a high clip right now, but I just don't know if he could win four to five times every year going forward. It's only going to get tougher as you get older. The talent's better than it ever has been.
Right.
Of course, injuries flare up as you get older.
They also said this about Spieth, and they said this about Rory. And
yeah, Rory was going to win 10 majors.
Yeah. You
know? And then I don't think we'll see somebody reach 10 majors in our lifetime. Huh. I could be wrong, but that's just with the high level of competition anymore.
Yeah.
It's so hard to win one major, let alone two in the same year like Xander did last year. I do think, though, you know, Bryson's only won two. They've both been U.S. Opens, but he's been darn close other times. I mean, heck, he ended up tied for second yesterday.
Yeah.
I think he gets three more majors. That's why I told Aaron. Aaron's like, Bryson, three more? I'm like, yeah, I think he gets a Masters. I think he gets a PGA, and it wouldn't shock me if he wins another U.S. Open. I don't know if he'll ever get a British Open, though. It doesn't seem like it fits his game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the next one on Father's Day weekend coming up will be the U.S. Open, which is usually golf's greatest test. And the month after that's the British Open, and then the majors are done for the year. Then we'll have FedEx Cup and President's Cup. And I know why they moved. You know, it used to be the PGA used to be in August. In May, the Players' Championship was in May. But I know why they moved everything around. So then, you know, starting in March, you got the Players, the biggest non-major tournament. April, you got the Masters. May, you got the PGA. June, you got the U.S. Open. July, you got the Open. Then August, you got the FedEx Cup. Then September, depending on the year, you got the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup.
Yeah.
This year's a Ryder Cup year. So from March through September, you got a big event every month for golf. So I get why they did it, but still trying to get used to it. But good for Scotty. Pretty cool. You know, last year he was in a jail cell. And during one of the rounds of morning of the PGA Championship round. And this year he wins at Quail Hollow. So like Aaron Lynch said that Nance should have used a call from jail to the winner at Quail or something like that, but he didn't. But I do love Nike's ad yesterday was awesome. It was a photo of him teeing off someday this week. I don't know which day. And up at the top, it said best player in the world, ? Guilty. I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Simple, awesome, like inside there. So Scotty's easy to root for. He's a good dude. Doesn't show a lot of emotions. He's just a solid player. Yep. I mean, he's the most consistent player I've seen since prime Tiger Woods.
I saw he had his son and he carried him in and he put his son down and just had him play with like the scorecard or whatever it was that so he could sign the whatever.
Yeah, his son's just a year old. He was very newly born last year.
I remember that.
Everything went down at the PGA. Yeah. So yeah, we will see what happens in here in a couple weeks at the U.S. Open. But two majors down, and a big name gets it done. Two of golf's biggest names have got it done so far, Rory and Scotty. And Rory wasn't a factor. That was the interesting thing. Besides Scotty, a lot of the PGA Tour guys, the big names, were not factored this week. It was a lot of the no-name PGA Tour guys. Then the big boys from LIV, John Rahm, Bryson, Joaquin Neenum, who I picked last week. Those three guys were in the hunt. I mean, they all finished top 15. So, yeah.
Rory's kind of a sore loser, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't like his attitude. I think he has a very bad
attitude.
Didn't
do any media is what I read this week. And he played bad and he did none. And it seems like you just won the Masters. You should at least, you know, throw him a bone and do a little bit of media. But he just kind of sulked or blew him off, whatever.
Yep, and it just kind of made me chuckle. I mean, I'm not a big Rory fan. I wouldn't say I'm a Rory hater either, but it makes me laugh. Like, everybody was so confident he was either going to win or be right in the mix because, oh, him winning the Masters is unlocking this amazing year that's going to happen for Rory. And I'm like, it could be the opposite. It drained him from winning the Masters to where he might not win another big tournament this year.
Yeah. And he might not be as locked in either because, okay, I got the Grand Slam. I can kind of take it easy the rest of the year, maybe.
Exactly.
And that's probably not a mentality he has, but maybe subconsciously that's kind of what creeps in.
And then, like, Jordan Spieth, who you mentioned earlier, I mean, the PGA Championship's the only one he's waiting for the Grand Slam. I don't think he's ever going to do it. He didn't make the cut this week. Right. He doesn't have it like he used to. Probably puts more pressure on himself on PGA Championship week than any other week. I mean, why wouldn't you? Justin Thomas, who's a past two-time PGA champion, he didn't make the cut. Brooks Koepka, who's a three-time past PGA championship champion, he didn't make the cut. My boy Ricky Fowler fell flat on his face on the back nine on Friday not to make the cut. It was looking good with seven holes to go, and then he just choked on top of choking. Didn't make the cut. A lot of household names around PGA Tour did not play well for whatever reason. So. Last thing to talk about this week's baseball. So let's know what's going on with your Cubs and around the world in standings in baseball.
Pretty good week. I mean, they went 5-1, so I can't really complain, even though I find ways to complain regardless.
Always.
Wanted 6-0 because they played two bad teams at home, but 5-1 is very, very good. I can't really complain about that. They took 2-3 from the Marlins. Pretty fortunate to take 2-3. They had have a miracle comeback in the ninth inning on the Tuesday night with Justin Turner, old man Justin, with a two-run walk-off double to beat the Marlins, and then followed it up by just shellacking the White Sox over the weekend, outscoring them. I think it was 28-6 or 29-6, something like that. So they really took it to them, and they did what they should do to a team like the White Sox. They couldn't catch a simple fly ball over the weekend. They had three of them drop in that should have been caught. And so that was pretty embarrassing. But pretty happy with the way they've been playing. They're 9 games over 500. Season high, 9 games over 500. The Cardinals are right on their tails. They won 9 in a row here the past couple weeks, and they've still won 8 of their last 10, so they're just 2 games back. Reds, after losing 2 or 3 of the White Sox, followed it up by sweeping the Cleveland Guardians, and so they're 4.5 back. Brewers are 6 back. Pirates, 15-32, 13 games back. I'm going to go on a little bit of a Pirates rant, which I'm sure longtime listener Sean Shriver will appreciate. You have this generational-level pitcher, and Paul Skeens there. And, you know, last year they had some buzz because, you know, Skeens was up. Jared Jones also had a really good year out of that rotation. Another young guy who is now out for the season with likely Tommy John surgery coming. But they had some buzz. You know, if they add some offense, they could compete for at least a wild card spot, if not the division. And they went out and signed past his prime, near 40-year-old Tommy Pham, who's hitting under 200. Adam Frazier, who hasn't had a good year in about 5 years, was their second big offseason acquisition. On the offensive side of the ball, he's in about 220 with a couple homers. They have a really good farm system. They could have gone out. They could have put together a better trade package to trade for Kyle Tucker than the Cubs did. And he would have obviously helped tremendously. But now the Pirates are dead last in runs scored. They're in the bottom three in homers. They're in the bottom three in batting average, bottom three in on base. And Paul Skeens threw his first career complete game yesterday. And he only threw 8 innings because they lost 1-0. He has to be absolutely perfect in order for them to win games. And that's not fair to him, not fair to the fans. Bob Nutting, their owner, is he's given the Monforts a run for their money as far as worst owners in sports. Ben Charrington, their GM, he took over for Theo with the Red Sox back in 2012, and he won a World Series in 2013. But they ran him out of town really quickly thereafter, and he's been in town in Pittsburgh since 2019, and they haven't sniffed the playoffs once, haven't even won 80 games in that span. And he refuses to make any moves. And, you know, a lot of that probably falls on ownership. And the fans are starting to revolt. They're getting about 5 to 10,000 fans showing up each game. And beautiful, beautiful baseball field there, PNC Park. One of my favorites, probably my favorite I've been to outside of Wrigley Field. And it's a shame. And, I mean, I'm okay with it because, you know, they're in the Cubs division. But it's been, you know, 10-plus years since the Pirates did anything. And there's no – I mean, there is hope because you have a good farm system, but there's no hope that the ownership and GM are going to put, you know, pieces around guys like Paul Skeens. I mean, they continue to pick in the top five, and it means – it has meant absolutely nothing over the past couple of years because those guys haven't panned out or whatever. So it's pretty pathetic the way they're running things out there in Pittsburgh. And Paul Skeens deserves better, and I think he should force his way to the Chicago Cubs, is what I'm saying.
So, you'd like that.
Yes. But, yeah, I think Skeens will end up probably with the Yankees or Dodgers here within the next probably 2 to 3 years at the trade deadline when the Pirates are out of it like they always are, which is bad for baseball, for one. And these owners need to be held accountable. It's the only sport where the owners just like to cash these revenue sharing checks and don't spend any money, and it's embarrassing, and it's hurting baseball a lot. But elsewhere around baseball, Yankees have a 5-game lead in the East. Tigers have the best record in baseball at 31-16. They're 5 up on Minnesota. Mariners win in the West. Dodgers win in the West. Cubs win in the Central. Mets are still winning the NL East. But other than that, not a ton going on. We still got, you know, a month and a half till the All-Star break, 2+ months till the trade deadline, and Cubs really need some pitching. I think their offense will be fine. Their offense has been fine. It's been one of the best in baseball so far. They need somebody to take a hold of third base and run with it. They called their top prospect, Matt Shaw, up again. He struggled his first 16 games in the show this year, but went down to AAA and tore the cover off the ball. Need him to take the reins, but they really, really need pitching. Shohei Imanaga's out for another month. Justin Steele obviously out for the season. They need some bullpen arms to step up. I have been watching the Cubs tonight as I've been doing the show, and I'm surprised you haven't seen my facial reactions because they're down 2-0.
Couldn't even tell you're watching the game.
Bad Marlins team. Ben Brown, who they really need to be good, gave up homers to the first two batters of the game, so that was always fun. They find themselves down 2-0 here in the fourth inning. They do have a guy on second with nobody out, so hopefully they can get something going. But in Miami, in Cincinnati this week, and need to find a way to at least split this week and go 3-3 at least before they get the fortune of playing the Rockies at home. And that always makes me nervous when you have a bad team coming into Wrigley and they play down. But
it's baseball. You never know.
We have a birdie bogey here real quick before we go. Since 2000, only 4 schools have had each a number one overall pick in basketball and a number one overall pick in football. Can you name those 4 schools?
I got 3, and I literally have been trying for the last 5 minutes to think of the fourth. Oklahoma.
Yes. Can you name the players?
Blake Griffin, Sam Bradford, Baker Mayfield.
Kyler, whatever. Yeah, they
Kyler have Murray, too. Yeah. Forgot about him. Georgia.
Yes.
Anthony Edwards, Matthew Stafford.
Huh.
Don't know how I remembered this one, and I can't remember the fourth. Utah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew Bogut, Alex Smith.
Yes, sir.
And I can't, for the life of me, I can think of all the football ones in my head. I can't think of basketball in my head, number one picks. I mean, I'm thinking USC. I'm thinking LSU. I'm thinking, you know, for football. I'm thinking, of course, Miami, Florida. But I'm like, I don't think any of those had basketball. I'm going to throw one out here. I know they had basketball. I can't remember if this guy was number one in football, though. I don't think it was. Was it Ohio State?
You are incorrect. You did get a
maybe
part.
Bosa was, and I know Odin was.
It was LSU.
Who was the basketball player?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, for God's sake. I forgot that guy even played basketball. Yeah.
Heck of an effort, though. And you get a par, so you can't
I'll really take it. Still haven't got a birdie, though. That's pretty pathetic, but man. All right. All right.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.